Welcome everyone to another episode of For the Love of Cinema, episode 66. My name is Grayson Maxwell and my co-host, Nick. I always bring my own power drink, Morris. Say hello.
Hey, everyone.
And Roger, I'm the tech guy with the mics still in.
I'm terrible at tech and yeah, so sure.
All right, guys. How was your week been?
Well, you know, pretty good. The Pens just beat the Flyers to advance in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So that's what's up.
You make you excited?
That did happen. Oh, yeah.
I was quite excited as well.
Also, your boy got back on Netflix.
Oh.
Yeah.
What are you watching this week, Nick?
Well, you know, there's a couple things I wanted to catch up on, you know.
Did you catch up on them?
Trailer Park Boys. You know, I watched season 12 in one night.
That's John Dunsworth. Real adulting there.
Yeah. I also watched Game Over Man. With the guys from Workaholics.
You know what?
Somebody was just telling me about that movie.
I looked at that several times. Like, I want to watch it, and I didn't.
It's not bad. I mean, if you're a fan of Workaholics, it's definitely...
They said it's basically like a long Workaholics
Yeah,
episode.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very humorous. So, yeah, give it a watch. I mean, it's not bad. Also, Wind River, I was surprised that I didn't know it's on Netflix. So that's also a good...
It's a tough movie to watch.
Yeah. Really
did you watch it yet, Roger?
That one's hard.
Did you watch it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, good. But it's a good movie.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
It's a fantastic movie.
I tweeted about it, and I warned everyone about the mild rape scene.
What?
Mild?
Well, yeah, you're right.
You know what happens to a girl when a guy gets beaten to death? Like, I mean, that's a mild definition of mild right there.
I said frontier justice was served, though.
I mean, I like I like how Jeremy Renner talks about you're either a warrior or you go out like a whimper. I love that in the end. The guy really does go out with a whimper, like nothing. And, you know, he makes it, the guy ends up running something like 30 feet and then collapsing when the night before, worst temperatures, the girl ran like 6 miles in the snow, no shoes, nothing. That's a warrior. Like, that's what I love about that last part. And it actually is interesting to me how that movie did not get nominated for anything.
Didn't get nominated for anything.
Nothing. And it deserved. It really deserved something, I'll tell you what. But if you haven't seen Wind River, that's a hell of a movie. It's not the official recommendation this week. Nick will have something to officially recommend later. Think about that, Nick. And but that's a very good movie to watch. If you've not seen it, it is available for streaming. You should definitely watch it.
I hope so much later when they ask you what you want to recommend for streaming, you say just watch Wind River.
I'll be
so happy.
don't say that.
Everything that we talked about. Yeah, just remember that.
This is, though, episode 4 Rampage, and we were also going to be talking about the first 9 Marvel movies in release order, not in chronological, but in release order. We're going to be going over them very briefly. We're getting very excited for Avengers, which comes out this week, actually.
It does.
So, but we're going to next week finish the last 9, and then the week after, of course, is our Avengers episode. So be tuned in for that.
That episode is live.
It's going to be live from Marquee Cinemas. I gave a wrong date last week. It's my fault. May the 6th. It's a Sunday, May the 6th at 3 p.m. We're going to try to be there. So, again, I'll say it at the end of the episode, but Sunday, May 6th, 3 p.m., Marquee Cinemas at the Highlands in Wheeling, West Virginia, Tridelphia. Come out, check us out, see a movie before, talk about movies after. It'll be a good time. I really hope it's a good turnout and we have a great time. So, saying that, as always, let's... get in the box office, guys. What do you think? Any surprises this week for you guys, you think?
Well, as I'm looking at the list, no, not really.
You know what is in one, number one again? Quiet Place.
A Quiet Place, yeah.
Beat out Rampage.
What's up?
I'm surprised, Quiet Place. It's funny how last week we all started loving that movie, and by talking about it, we're like, what the? No!
We really just kicked the hell out of Quiet Place for no real reason. We all like the movie a lot, and then by the time we're done talking to it, you're just like... Man, you really messed up.
I remember towards the end of the discussion, I looked over at Roger and like I could just see him post a look on his face, and we're talking, and he's like, "Damn it! Like, damn it! I wanted to like the movie so much more than I did now."
Yeah, but I like it, but then I don't like it. Apparently,
every time I've talked about it lately, it's just I've said what you just said. You know, I love the movie, but then once we got talking about it on the podcast, I started to.
See the plot holes in the story.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm just like, what?
I hated the last 30 seconds. I hated the last 30 seconds more than I can possibly tell you. But it did reach the goal I thought it would. 17 million over 207 worldwide. So, I mean, maybe 250? Guys, you think it'll hit 250 before Avengers?
I don't know. Everything dies this week.
Yeah.
It's only got to go. It's only got less than 50 million, and it's very popular right now. But I mean, Thursday night. I know some places Wednesday night, and in smaller cities, Thursday night Avengers, just everything else gone.
Yeah.
No other movies. Minor, just don't even show them. Like, you're wasting your time showing other movies. So, well, that is number one as of right now. Wouldn't it be funny if it was still number one next week?
Oh God.
Oh my God.
That would be impressive.
Rampage, number two, the movie we're talking about today, $120 million budget, coming in at $283 worldwide. I'm actually surprised that movie's still making money. After watching it, I'm surprised it's still making money.
That was a really narrow win for Quiet Place over Rampage, too.
Really?
Yeah. Mojo says it was $22 million for Quiet Place, to $21 million for Rampage.
Yeah, but interestingly enough, Quiet Place only lost in the change from last week to this week 33%. Rampage went down 41%.
Ooh.
So that's a bigger change than just 1 million. But
yep.
And number three, I Feel Pretty. This movie is going out with a whimper. We talked about Wind River. $32 million budget. It only has a domestic total of $16 million. Boy, Amy Schumer, you better, whatever you got this week, you better hope it's enough. Because
I mean, it's going to be in real danger of not making its budget.
It is in danger of that.
Yeah, because, I mean, it didn't even clear half.
Well, everyone's going to go watch Avengers, so the chances of people watching these movies this week are not good. Like, everyone's... Mm-hmm. This weekend is Avengers weekend, so...
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, Super Troopers number four. Also, I thought $13.5 million budget only has a $14 million gross so far.
But domestic. You know what, though? It made its entire budget back in 1 week. Well, here's the thing. I was actually reading about this morning. The expectation for this movie, it demolished it.
Really?
They didn't expect it to do nearly as much money as it did opening week. There's an article on Mojo about it today about how it like went far above and beyond what they had expected right off the bat, because it's going to make money in its second week.
Yeah.
But they never expected that yet. So now, I did talk a lot of smack, saying it would win a lot more, be a lot more popular this week than what it was. But you know, almost 15 million domestic
for a sequel that's how many years late?
10 almost.
15.
15
years. Wow. Late. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, there's that. But I would say what is projected. You don't give something a $13 million budget if it's only projected to make a total lifetime gross of $20 million.
But what if it makes 50?
Well, it didn't.
It didn't yet.
Well, the question, what if?
See, like, this is the kind of movie that can hang, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the movie that, okay, yeah, it knows it's going to lose people to Avengers, but it'll also be there in 2 weeks.
It's got that.
Unlike I Feel Pretty, which completely is gone, this one still has the ability of, like, everyone's already seen the Avengers, and then it's, let's go watch Super Troopers again with your friends. Like, no one's going to be like, you know what, let's go watch I Feel Pretty. No one's going to say that. Nobody. So, there's also that. But number five, Truth or Dare. This movie also going out with a win. Well, actually, not really. $3.5 million budget and worldwide gross of 38. So they're happy with that. I mean, it's kind of a low performance as far as, like, max gross is concerned. But as far as budget is concerned, it's a hell of a performance.
I mean, but what could you expect out of this kind of movie?
Horror movies are popular. You know, we covered Happy Death Day.
Mm-hmm.
It was very popular. Get Out and Split both had very small budgets. But made tons of money. With the most of them, I think it was a $10 million budget, and it made like 100 and some million, so that definitely made its money back times 10.
Yep.
Oh, well. So, Truth or Dare. That's one we didn't cover. One I didn't really care to cover either, I'll be honest.
Not a kind of movie that I watch. But, I mean, again, though, that movie, $3.5 million to make, it's cleared almost $31 million. 10 times its budget.
Yeah, that's...
And that's a win for a studio.
It is. It's a major studio, especially Blumhouse, which is still kind of a small studio... Mm-hmm. Still kind of a young studio. So.
That gets other movies funded.
Yeah, it does. Number six, Ready Player One, with no official budget given, but made over $521 million.
Yeah, broke half a billion.
What do we think is the... We think somewhere around $250 has got to be the budget for this thing?
Yeah, I think it has to be. So considering if it is $250, it's done double its budget.
It's in the complete profit part. Yep.
It's making...
the budget and the advertising, so...
It's making money.
All right.
Which is good.
Oh, yeah.
Blockers, number seven. I still think every time someone says Blockers, I think of her velociraptor hands shaking when she gets electrocuted behind the TV. $21 million budget. Worldwide, $67 million. That's not bad, guys. Mm-hmm. That's, I mean, for all of its... Every time I ask someone if they've seen Blockers, they say no. Why would anyone? Well, I mean, people are watching Blockers.
I mean, it's funny.
It is funny. It's got its moments. It surely does.
Dude, and there is still Black Panther.
Black Panther, number 8, still cruising along. No official budget given, but $1.3 billion. Like, that's getting, like, you really wrapped your head around that number?
That's crazy.
That's insane.
Shout out to Black Panther,
You know what's crazy about that is looking at the domestic box office like I am, it only dropped off less than 20% from last week.
It's still making,
that's insane. Yeah,
it's still doing consistent numbers every week. So, I mean, it's whatever, but it's really doing well. You think, never mind, I was going to say something like that, but we'll bring it up later. Traffic, number 9, no budget given, $3.8 million gross so far. I don't think people are rushing to the cinema to watch that one.
You know, well, I kind of feel bad because I saw the trailer for that, and it does look interesting, but I didn't see much advertising for it.
I didn't either. That's the weird part. Why put money behind a movie and then not advertise?
Yeah.
Why? Unless there's some. I know there are, like, insurance claims studios can do for whatever reason, but why not put advertising behind everything you've got?
Why not try harder?
Yeah, exactly. Well, if you have a movie you're coming out and you already have trailers out for, you might as well just do the advertising. Mm-hmm. Isle of Dogs, number 10.
That
seems to be people seem to like this movie, but
I wanted to go watch it this week, but it is
it's more wider release now, which is good. Yeah. A lot more people can see it. No official budget given, and $39 million worldwide, almost $40 million. So it's not terrible.
I'm sure it's making money already. Well, I don't know. It's got a really expensive voice cast.
And up to number 20, some other ones is I Can Only Imagine, still hanging on number 12. Chappaquiddick, number 14. Beirut is number 7. I've been hearing a lot about Beirut.
Hey, you skipped over number 15, buddy.
Sherlock Gnomes, son of a gun.
Still hanging. I'm like,
what is Sherlock? What's 15? Sherlock Gnomes.
That's right. And number 20, you ready to talk about it this week?
We're not talking about Sherlock Gnomes. I thought I was going to be able to, but...
I mean, we're only talking about Rampage. This is your time to shine,
movies,
buddy.
And Marvel movies. And Marvel movies. All right. Love, Simon, still hanging on number 20. Great movie. Great movie. All right. So that means this past weekend what came out, if you're keeping up, April 20th was Super Troopers 2, Duck Duck Goose, I Feel Pretty, and Dolphins. Chances are you probably haven't heard much about Dolphins or Duck Duck Goose. April 27th, as this coming week, I mean, it's Avengers. And I've been instructed I cannot say
anything.
You're
not allowed to talk about anything else.
Anything else. Nope. There's other things releasing with it, but, you know.
Nope,
just,
who
just
cares?
Avengers.
Nope,
moving on. May 4th, Overboard opens wider. May 11th, Life of the Party, Breaking In. May 18th, Deadpool 2, Show Dogs, Book Club. And May 25th is a big week, Solo, A Star Wars Story. We're finally going to see how that movie came out. Mm. You know, went through a couple directors, went through a couple changes in script. We're going to see how it came out.
And that's, just one thing real quick. Donald Glover, who stars as Lando Calrissian.
Lando
Calrissian. Which I'm excited to see how he does. Well, how the whole movie does, of course. But Lando Calrissian, he's also... We never really got a huge story about him.
Well, we know important things. We know about the poker game. He lost the Falcon, or the Millennium Falcon. I mean, we know key things about him and Solo's background, but we don't know, like, important things, you know, so...
I've seen a couple articles. The only reason why I brought it up is, and depending on how his character is in the movie, people are saying they want to see an origin story about him. I mean, I wouldn't mind that. I mean,
of all the people to do origin stories in the Star Wars universe, he's not very high on the list.
Very true.
I mean, he might be an interesting character, but I don't know, man.
Personally,
But you can't dedicate an entire film to him.
Yeah.
I don't think you can.
Well, I mean, this could be just as much his origin story as Solo's. I mean, God knows what direction this movie's going into.
Very true.
No one knows.
My prediction for this movie is it's not going to flop financially, but...
It won't flop financially because it's a Star Wars movie.
Right, but I don't think people are going to care about it.
Yeah, okay. Know.
Will Deadpool 2 in its second week make more money than Solo? All
right.
I mean, listen, it won't because it's a Star Wars movie. But that's that would be hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, it
Do you guys remember when Phantom Menace came out? I mean, I know I'm a little bit older than... Well, I'm
that was 99, summer of 99, yeah.
Yeah, like I was in high school. And Phantom Menace came out and Spider-Man beat the piss out of it. Do you remember that?
I don't remember
the first
that,
Sam Raimi Spider-Man, like, it crushed
it.
Wow,
really?
It crushed
it. Well, in all honesty, Spider-Man was actually an okay movie, and Phantom Menace was garbage.
Yep. So I think that mattered. Now, I mean, it would matter a lot more if that was happening now, and, like, that level of bad, but Spider-Man killed it, dude. Yeah.
I don't remember that, but I mean, it's cool to remember that, though. Yeah. As far as...
I do, because like I was never really a big Star Wars guy growing up. Now I've come around on it to what it actually did for movies, and I enjoy them now, but like I was always like, Spider-Man killed Star Wars. That's awesome. Like, ah, dorks. Look at me now. Nerds. I have a podcast about movies.
Nerds.
A dork.
You calling the Star Wars fans nerds, but not the Spider-Man fans.
Nope.
Nerds.
Nope.
All right. Well, that's
pathetic. Definitely I'm sorry.
That means you have only, depending on if you're going to get a midnight show or wait till Friday, you only have a few days till Avengers, 2 weeks for Overboard, 3 weeks for Life of the Party, just a month for Deadpool 2, and a little over 4 weeks for Solo's Star Wars Story. Now, guys, look on your face. Tell me you have some news about James Cameron. I probably don't want to hear.
Let's talk about your boy.
First of all, before we start this, am I going to be disappointed because I love him? Am I?
Yes.
Okay.
So he went as far to say that he hopes people are getting tired of watching superhero movies, having some superhero fatigue, because apparently that's all that comes out anymore. So he hopes after Avengers things start dying down.
It's not, I mean, it's, if anything, it's going to ramp up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not if you're DC. ouch.
They have one more. Man. They have one more chance with Aquaman. Like, if Aquaman is bad, that DC universe dies.
But yeah, it was immediately clapped right back to him via Twitter that in the last 15 years he's only worked on Avatar and Avatar-related projects.
It's true.
So. They're like, if anyone needs to move on from things, maybe it's you.
And it's releasing Titanic for like the 20th time on another Blu-ray or like in the theater.
Yeah, I mean,
you know?
Literally has done nothing new in 15 years.
Has he not? I mean...
I don't think so. Like, I thought back at it.
I can't think so.
What year did Avatar come out?
2009.
2009. It's so been, basically 10 years. Yeah, basically 10 years from that. And you know Avatar took a couple years minimum to make.
I think it was like 5 years.
So
to make,
say yeah. 15 years. He's done nothing new.
And if you think about it...
Besides Avatar in his 4 proposed Avatar sequels.
But I mean...
God. He's complaining about Avengers 3. I don't understand it.
You make a good point. But I mean, look at Avatar. As far as Jake Sully, the character of Jake Sully, he kind of is a superhero in a way. So, I mean, he's... I think he's just mad that his...
His name is also John Smith from the movie from the Pocahontas story.
Jake Sully, so. four letters, five, and then John Smith, 4 letters, 5 letters. Yeah, I mean, it's no different. But, I mean, I think he's just mad that him having the king for box office has been upstaged. I think.
I think he's legitimately worried Black Panther might be coming for it. And then he looks at Black Panther going, wait, what if Avengers is better and makes more money than that? Mm. So
I expect...
That's a possibility.
It is a real possibility.
I expect from the time this episode posts, which is Tuesday morning, up until Sunday, which is, it has different release windows in different cities, I'm guessing $300 million opening.
That was my thing I predicted during the Oscars. Here's the thing. It has 50 million pre-sold. It's the highest pre-sold movie ever.
That's good true.
Lord,
so that's 50 million
Holy
pre-sold,
crap.
Okay? So...
Most movies don't even see 50 million that's
so crazy.
It's got 50 million pre-sold. Apparently, the last Star Wars movie was the highest.
Last Jedi, just to be specific.
Was it Last Jedi or whatever? Force Awakens, whatever. That one is the
seven
higher.
Or eight.
Seven.
Seven was Force Awakens.
It has the higher number for an opening record or whatever. And they're worried this should make a real run at it.
That's fair. Now you mean 50 million pre-sold other than like the midnight shows or like the opening weekend?
Well, pre-sold for opening weekend. Jeez. So just 50 million
That's good.
So no matter what happens, if Avengers sells no more tickets, it has $50 million in the bank already.
That's what's up, man.
But that budget, I'm guessing, is easily...
It's got to be
275 or 300.
Yeah, has to be.
Easily, yeah, it's got to be.
And it's, and I mean, this is the one of the ones where you don't just look at the budget itself. You look at the advertising budget. It's got to be like enormous.
That advertising, well... A rule of thumb, advertising budget is half of the budget, but it's not factored into the budget.
Mm-hmm.
So you take a movie's budget, divide it by half, and add that for the actual budget. So we're looking at, for something like Ready Player One, we're looking at 250. We're actually looking at something like 325, you know, something like that.
Very possible.
I mean, Avengers has got to be, this has got to be one of the biggest movie undertakings as far as cast and scope. It's got to be one of the biggest movie undertakings of all time. Maybe not like, maybe... Just behind, like, maybe, like, from the Golden Age, like, Cleopatra, or, like, those huge, lavish productions they did, like, in Golden Age studios.
Well, you're also forgetting the main key point. Not only is it a superhero movie, it is a culmination of nearly 20 movie. 18 yeah. movies. No one has yeah. ever done that before. Ever.
Well,
no, right. never. They, yeah.
it's a huge yeah. thing. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's not just, oh, hey, we're getting, you know, a third Avengers movie. No, no, no. This is the end of 18 movies.
Well, you say it's the end of 18 movies in the same way that the second Avengers movie was the end of 12 movies?
Well, no, because it's not. Because that's just one of the movies of the 18. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, hey, here's the 12th movie, and now we wrap up everything. Now,
Infinity War is broken into multiple parts. We've mm-hmm. already discussed this, right? So,
well, not necessarily anymore. Because they took off Infinity War Part 2. They dropped that from really? The name of the second one. Yeah, a while ago. Because I think it's going to be called Avengers Disassembled. Because multiple people are going to die.
Well, oh God. So you're glumping in Avengers Infinity War in with whenever however many parts Infinity War has, that's the end of this 18 or this, well, Infinity War would be 19.
Infinity War is 19.
19 or 20 movie streak. So mm-hmm. that's the end of this.
This is the end of that. Yep.
And are they going to continue on with
No, well, things change after this.
Yeah.
Characters will not come back after this. This is the end of the line for some people.
Will not come back as in die?
As in die.
And so,
permadeath. Just contracts
we're going to talk about this a whole lot more in weeks to come. But so, like, there's lore up to this point in the comic books.
No, we're all off comic book script now.
Okay, we're way off.
Yeah, but I mean, we have 18 movies worth of lore.
Jeez, okay.
That's I mean, a lot you have 40 plus hours of viewing time.
And, I mean, you have all the TV shows and all that, mm-hmm. but I mean, I've never really gotten into them. The S.H.I.E.L.D. or...
I watched the first episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I didn't care for it.
I didn't move on past it. It didn't grab me like I was hoping it was going to, and that's unfortunately the way it goes.
Apparently Coulson comes back, though.
Yeah, Coulson's back in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Apparently he's coming back to the movies. He hasn't been in any movies since he started the...
I hope so, because Coulson's one of the
remember,
guys.
He died in the... In
well,
he died. He was the guy with the captain of...
Coulson believed in what they were doing. That's the important part of his character was like the glue that was holding all the Avengers together in the Avengers.
Because he died, they became a team.
Yeah. Again, manufactured by Nick Fury, who apparently knows every play everyone ever makes.
Yep.
Samuel Jackson. Oh, boy. Speaking of which, I just watched Lakeview Terrace this week.
Yeah.
As a quick aside. Yeah. Yeah. He's crazy in that one, too.
Dude, that I saw that in theaters. That's crazy.
That movie made a ton of money, too.
Thinking about Lakeview Terrace for a second, like, I always thought it was hilarious when he gets really mad because the guy, for some unknown reason, is hiding smoking from his wife, whatever, but he's flicking the cigarette butts into somebody else's yard. What kind of dick move is that?
That is
damn
true.
Damn street,
true,
dude. Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
That's
like,
horrible.
I'd be pissed, too. I wake up in the morning and be like, what the hell is this outside of my yard? I call you off for that.
Yeah, for real.
Come on, man.
Yeah, but he took it a little too far.
I get that. There was real problems with that, but I get the anger from that. Like, I'd be mad.
All right. So Infinity War is one of the trailers I want to look at because it's coming out this week. I posted for Nick and Roger to watch. So I saw to watch and talk about. Like, it was a three trailer posted together, like one mega trailer. I just want to see all of them at once. It's kind of cool, but it showed all the trailers we've already seen. But everyone has seen an Avengers trailer leading up to this, so
you can't avoid it at this point.
Yeah. Anything you guys want to bring out as like a story point you're hoping they really go on to, or
I mean,
well, actually, on this trailer. I think it's Stark that says, we have something he wants, let's use, like, I'm not saying it correctly, I'm paraphrasing, but we have something he wants, let's use it. So your prediction was, one of the Infinity Stones is in Wakanda.
Probably,
So maybe they figure that out, and they
know
Thanos is coming.
Well, we know there's one attached to Vision's forehead.
Yeah,
we see it being extracted.
We know that Thanos also could be what they're talking about.
Well, we know whoever's holding Loki's thing gets that. We don't know who's holding the staff, do we? Did we see that in the trailer?
No, but I have a theory about that.
I'd like to think
Shuri. I think they're in Wakanda and she's taking it out of his head.
Is this to like just one small sacrifice to like to save?
No, I don't. I think she figures out a way that they can take the stone out of him and him still be alive.
Oh,
that's a different.
That's interesting.
I read a lot about this stuff. We'll see if any of it actually happens. But that was actually... I'll be like, okay, I could see that happening. Mm-hmm. Like, she gets to analyze Vision. Because the one thing in the newer trailer is where she is just roasting Banner for about how they put up... when they built Vision. I mean, they're talking about him. They're like, why didn't you link the synapses together? You're like, we didn't think about that. And she's like, why not?
We created a person. We didn't think about, we created a divine being. We didn't think about things.
So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if something happens for, along that line.
Yeah.
Going to be exciting though. I really, I shake when I think about it.
I mean, one new thing that I saw from the mashup trailer was, and I didn't see it in any of the other ones, was Thanos having the Tesseract and, you know, breaking it basically in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing to make it into a stone to
probably
fit in
get
his
that
hand.
Stone, yeah.
Well, that's why I think that Loki is definitely, he might end up on the side of the Avengers, but I don't think he's going to start there. I think he just sees this as another opportunity to break free and do what he wants to do, is be Loki.
Mm-hmm.
You know, turn it into a verb, is Loki everywhere. Like, just, you know, just deceive and lie and just get what you want. That's what he does. He's a trickster god. So, I mean, that's...
His character has changed so much throughout the movies that he's in, too.
It has. And I love Loki character, but I think I love it because Tom Hiddleston is so good
he's
as Loki.
Awesome.
Very
he's awesome.
Very true.
Yeah, he just nails that.
I've as you guys know, I have been trying to rewatch all of them before I go see Avengers. I'm behind where I want to be, but... very recently, just watched the very first Thor movie, just watched Avengers again, and just the difference in that character from the first Thor movie to the first Avengers movie is crazy, and then how much farther it goes with Thor and Dark World and whatever, and then all the way up to Ragnarok, where he's basically, he's the same, but totally different. It's, you guys understand what I mean?
Yeah.
He's still Loki, but there's another side of him that you don't ever get to see, where like he's almost good, but definitely still bad.
Well, the part I love about that is... The scene, I talk about it all the time, but I think it's the best scene in the greatest, latest Thor movie. It's the scene on the cliffs where they're, Loki and Thor are sitting there talking with their father who's already passed, and they know it. But that's down.
It's a strong scene.
That's not Thor, that's not Loki, that's two brothers and a father. You know what I mean? Like that's, and that's when you see Loki, like, you know, I know when it comes down to it, Loki will do the right thing. I just think the whole thing about giving him a chance to be Loki and be Trickster. That is, it's almost to me, that's almost as nerve-wracking as Thanos, because, like, Loki just,
unpredictable, you know?
Unpredictable, and I'm going to go even further to say, in my last official prediction before the movie comes out, he is going to get someone killed, and he's going to do it on purpose, and it won't be Thor.
Won't be Thor, but what if he gets himself killed?
Yeah.
That's something I've actually looked at a lot.
But didn't he do that in Dark World?
No, I mean actually dead.
I'd be okay with that.
Like, dead.
Loki owes that to Thor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he owes a death. He owes a life.
Yeah.
So, that'd be really cool to do. I mean, that's a good...
One thing I keep doing, too, for some reason, is I keep quoting the line from Ragnarok every time Thor has a problem and he doesn't have his hammer or whatever, and the line that Odin tells him, he's like... Are you Thor, God of Hammers? And I just laugh saying that, because it's like, if you think about what that means, like, it's a really funny but like serious line. He's like, the hammer's not you, man.
Yeah, exactly. It's just an instrument.
God of Hammers? No.
But it is. I mean, it is a good source of his power. But that's the thing about the Thor movie, is he learns to be a king without the hammer.
Like, yeah,
hammer.
Exactly.
He learns what it means to be king, sacrifice for his people.
His hammer's still gone.
In the first one, you know, he regains his worthiness.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well. We're going to get into that very soon. But,
another day.
All right, so, and then what about the Equalizer, real quickly, the second Equalizer movie, brought to us by Antoine Fuqua, who also had very involved with the first one, Denzel Washington, Bill Pullman, Melissa Leo, and Pedro Pascal. What do you guys think?
It definitely looks interesting.
Like the first Equalizer?
Who doesn't like the first Equalizer?
Yeah.
Am I a dude? Hell yes.
It's Denzel, man, you know?
That's it. It's Denzel, man.
It's literally Denzel. I mean, that's...
He's one of the few actors that... Why are you going to watch Equalizer? Denzel.
It's Denzel.
You need another... I mean, he's just that good that he's... Now, I don't like his choices recently. I didn't like him in Magnificent Seven.
Didn't fit in that movie.
He really didn't. And neither did Chris Pratt, though.
Nope.
The whole thing didn't
that movie's
fit.
Also bad. So maybe
bad.
That's it.
But one, I did love him in Safe House. And I talked about this movie a lot. But I loved Safe House. You guys see that one with Ryan Reynolds?
Mm-mm.
That's great.
I don't believe
movie.
I did.
That's a great movie. But I love Denzel. But like, Denzel has learned to be a badass. And this Equalizer looked like an extension of Man on Fire.
Yeah, that movie owns.
And yeah, that's in this trailer. He is a total badass. I mean, I was disregarding the first one because when I saw the trailer, it doesn't say what it is. You know, I didn't even look at, you know, the Equalizer 2. When I played it, I just played the trailer and I was like, what is this movie with Denzel kicking ass?
Yeah, Denzel kicking ass.
And then it's just the Equalizer film. I'm like, oh, wow. There it is.
Do you have anything you want to say about Evil Island?
No, I mean, I love the first movie. I think it's great. It's ultra-violent, so...
I have the Steelbook. I love it. I love all the special features. I love special features. That's my thing, is I watch a movie. These days, I'll watch all the special features, especially a movie I worked on. That's even cooler, because, like... It's not. I mean, I'm working like hundreds, but the few I've worked on have been on set. It's like sometimes I'll see a special feature. I'm like, I was standing right there when they shot that. Like, I was standing right there. So that's pretty cool. But I'm moving on to A Kid Like Jake.
I mean, it's an interesting movie.
Do you think this is Wonder 2.0?
How can you not think that?
Well, no. That's why I want to bring it up. It's one of those. One studio had a script, the other one had a script, and they both, mm-hmm. They got out at different times. But I think I'll let you guys talk before I talk. Well, I have a lot to say on this one, but go ahead.
Well, now that you brought up Wonder, it does kind of seem like that throughout the trailer. Jim Parsons, Claire Danes, they look pretty goddamn good. I mean, I haven't seen Jim Parsons in many movies.
Outside of Big Bang Theory, right?
Yeah, and so for him to...
And Claire Danes has been out of the game for a while. Like, wrong. She's not been doing
wrong. Thing. Wrong. She's in a giant show on Showtime.
Homeland. Homeland. Yeah, but I'm talking about films, though. Like,
dude, any one of those, okay, you'd be like, hey, I work on Westworld.
That's fair.
Or
okay,
Game of Thrones.
Fine,
okay,
fine.
They're busy, man.
Well, busy is one thing, but like, you've just not seen her in the movie scene for a long time. She has been in Homefront, or what's it called?
Homeland.
Homeland.
Excellent show.
It's a good show. I've seen the first season. I've not seen past it.
You should see the second season.
I do like the first season a lot.
But you can go ahead and talk about this movie because I don't care about it.
A Kid Like Jake?
Nope.
Did you watch the trailer?
Yes.
Why don't you care?
I just watched Wonder. I just watched Wonder. I don't need to watch it again.
Damn it.
Come on, dude.
All right. Well, so the trailer, it looks very simple. These two people have a young child, a boy, and there's a little bit of identity confusion as to what he wants to be in preschool. And, I mean, as long as it's approached tastefully, I don't, I'm kind of excited about it. I don't want this movie to be one way or the other, pro or con, but if it's... I hope they do it in the same way Wonder is. It focuses on the little boy instead of what it means to be kind of different. I think in that way, that's going to be the strength here.
Well, from what I got from the trailer is... I mean, it's obviously... It's about Jake, the little kid, but it's also about the struggle with the parents.
Sure.
You know?
It's got to be. Well, I mean, Wonder's the same way, too, though.
The parents
have just a rough time with most of that stuff.
And of the three of us at this table, we only have one parent here.
I have struggles every day. Different struggles that are from having a kid and the struggles of when your kid has a struggle. It really does matter. Mm-hmm. Like, that stuff matters, but you can't take that and make it your...
I guess
she can't be your cross.
I
guess
the question: if your kid's getting bullied, do you want to punch the other kid in the face?
Hell yes, I do.
Yeah,
I mean that's just me. That's just me being a dad.
Yeah, dad, of course.
But I mean, listen, I don't want to see anybody get bullied. Really, like
yeah,
I,
yeah.
It's
very
not
true.
Really my style, but you know, it's just the way that it is. No one should want to see that.
No, of course not. I'm not saying. But
right, right.
I'm also saying kids can be mean.
Yeah.
Kids are dicks, dude.
Yeah.
Kids are dicks. We see it in Blockers. We see it in real
That's
life.
Right.
Anyone who went to high school knows kids can be dicks. I mean, if you're not in the end click, you are definitely out. So we're looking at that one coming up pretty soon. And, all right, guys, Rampage. The Rock, some giant creatures destroying it. It's wonderful.
Before we jump into it, I saw a list the other day about the most bankable stars. And I mean, The Rock's definitely on there.
We talked about this. Yeah, The Rock is definitely number one.
Well, actually, according to the list, now
who's first on the list?
Is it Will Smith?
Samuel L. Jackson.
What?
I don't know.
Yeah, and see, I was a little topsy turvy about that too.
You know, if you said Morgan Freeman, I might have let that go.
I don't know about Sam.
Wait, hold on. Does he get credit for all the? I play Nick Fury in 19
sure
movies. Is that
sure? Yeah.
Well, is he in all 19?
No, but he's in almost. He's at least in three quarters of them, at least in some capacity.
But I mean, the whole list. I mean, it was filled with Will Smith. You know, Morgan Freeman.
But I'm sure they're just adding up the dollars from the movies that they're in.
Yeah, exactly. And that's
in which case that's not a fair comparison because Sam he does have even though he didn't have he had a very small role in like 20 of some of the biggest grossing movies of the past 10 years.
I mean,
so, like, let's be honest here. That's not a fair comparison.
I mean, Adam Sandler was number 49.
Well, jeez.
So.
That's probably where he deserves to be.
Yeah, but I mean, I can believe it, though.
Well, yeah.
Have you seen an Adam Sandler movie lately?
Garbage. Look, we all know.
I love Billy Madison. Yeah, Billy Madison. Yes. More than Madison, just about anything.
And Happy Gilmore are his best, I will say. Yeah. Actually, I love
Actually, Rain the, Over the Me. Best movie he probably has.
Punch Drunk Love.
Well, that, okay. Actual one of his, like, actual comedy movies is probably, I think Big Daddy's probably the better one.
Mm-hmm.
Better than one. Because, I mean, that's actually, like, a semi-serious movie. Yeah. But Punch Drunk Love is the same as Spanglish.
I like Spanglish, though, and Punch Drunk Love. I also like, he did Rain Over Me, which I love, too.
That's a great movie.
That's not great, but it's a good, solid movie.
It's interesting, because that's one of those films that you wouldn't think Adam Sandler would
no.
be.
No. I mean, but neither is Punch Drunk Love, either. That's one that surprises you in that one, too.
And I think it's coming out on Netflix. It's with him and Chris Rock.
Oh.
All of his stuff is on Netflix right now.
That came out, like, yesterday or the day before that.
I think it's called The Week Of.
Oh, The Week Of. It's their kids get married, and they have to, like, deal with each other. But, of course, they haven't... Chris Rock and Adam Sandler have been in... You know, the grown-up movies together.
Yeah. They're homeboys.
Saturday Night Live.
They're in this crew, man.
SNL, yeah, of course. So.
But yeah, I saw that movie previewed in front of one of the recent movies that we watched. I looked and I just went, thumbs down, don't care about that.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to care about it.
Nope.
Well, that's not a big deal, because I'm sure Adam Sandler's not struggling to eat.
Yeah, very true.
I'm not worried about his financial situation at all, sir.
All right. Getting back to The Rock Rampage. I went into this movie... I think Roger and I had a little discussion before we got here. Remember what that? It's gonna be fun, but complete crap. Like trash. Like
I fell asleep twice. Not long, but I dozed off during
Rampage. How the hell could you do that? Right. It was so loud.
Well, no, I can get it. There are very slow moments in this movie. Tons of them.
I just remember waking up and I was like, "What the fuck happened to the wolf?" Because I had no idea.
That poor wolf got.
He had a rough day.
A very rough day. So. Actually, it has a makings of a semi-good movie. Mm-hmm. And, like, kind of, like, there's little inklings of really great moments. Like, when he's interacting with George.
Yeah,
those are the best parts.
Yeah,
of
course. Yeah, exactly.
It's the humanity that we're... I mean, even though George is a gorilla, but he's still... I mean, he's an extension of...
Human emotion.
Yes, yeah. that's what it is. Especially when he learns something new and they fist bump. Like, even the fun, like, he flips them off. It's still a good moment. And, like, you can tell because... There's great music playing. It's very emotional, very deep, very reflective music. And that, I think, is one of the highlights of this movie. There aren't many, but that's one of them.
That's definitely one of the most powerful things. Him and George interacting and signing with each other. One thing that is played through this movie a couple times is Davis, which is The Rock's character, talking about... how he gets along with animals much better than people.
Sure.
And for me, this movie is him kind of not really breaking out of his shell, but learning how to get along, you know, with people much better.
Who, The Rock?
Yeah.
We're talking Davis, a character.
I'm pretty sure he's talking about
Davis.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, The Rock.
The Rock needs no help socializing.
Yeah, exactly.
Sir.
None whatsoever.
Did you see this? Now, I'm going to... break off from Rampage for just one sec. This girl asked The Rock to prom.
Good for her. Yeah. Did he say yes?
Yeah, well, he got back to her. I think he was on the speakerphone in the high school. He was, like, talking over or whatnot. But, yeah, that's cool. And he
should start talking louder. She's like, you got a prom? Can't hear you back there. Talk louder.
But, yeah,
going
I mean...
through a tunnel.
We're in a gymnasium.
The Rock just ghosted some teenage girl.
That's the last thing he needs, especially with everything going on in Hollywood right now. He does not need that.
Yeah,
as far as what's going on,
but I mean this. I only dozed off twice, and it was like so towards the end of the movie,
especially then, dude, because it was so loud.
Yeah, I mean
so loud, and it's just always something going on. I think I like Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Sure. Oh yeah,
I liked Dwayne Johnson, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure about Malin Ackerman. Why she? Was even cast in this role?
Either one of them, too.
The brother and sister.
Yeah.
They were the most generic villains I've ever seen. They're just okay.
That's one of the biggest one of my problems with this movie is I couldn't tell who the bad guy was. You know, it's well obviously.
I mean, it was her.
Yeah,
it was her and then him on a sliding scale.
The company on a weird scale was the. Energine or
something?
Energine,
like that. Cyberdyne.
Skynet. You know, interchangeable. I really liked certain things I liked about it. Like I said, I liked the humanity between him and George. I liked Jeffrey Dean Morgan. I just said, like, I liked his character.
I liked his character's arc.
Kind of the cowboy. He had a little more power than I think someone in his position would have ever had. As far as, like, being in the command room and they're talking about what they're going to do to these things. Like, I don't think he would have been there. But, I mean, I do like his character. I think he was a lot of fun.
He's a good actor, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, I mean, he's Negan.
Yeah, he's Negan. I mean, Negan. I just watched, not too long ago, Texas Killing Fields.
Which he's in that, too, isn't he? Yeah, I have that and watched it.
Wonderful job. But, yeah, I enjoyed his character. I hope he gets a lot more buzz, I'm sure he already does.
He's got tons of buzz.
I think he's the reason people still watch Walking Dead is Negan. So there's that. I don't think he's hurting for buzz.
But I hope he gets like a couple of his own movies. Sure.
I'd be okay with that.
Couple other things, The entire movie in my eyes was good, but not great.
Obviously. It's not great.
No.
This will be on Netflix in 2 months.
No. I mean the real side of this movie is you gotta have an expectation of what you're gonna watch when you go in. Especially if you know what Rampage is. Mm-hmm. Rampage is a cheesy arcade game or cheesy video game. I mean, literally, it's just three animals is beating the hell out of a city.
Just destroying
like,
a city.
That's what it is. Like, there's nothing else besides that, okay?
Which,
there are many callbacks to the game throughout the movie, too. There really are.
Mm-hmm. Which, one in the office, of the Energene, was there a Rampage?
Yeah, I think I saw something.
It was the arcade.
Oh, yeah, it was in the main office upstairs. Because they called it Project Rampage.
Mm-hmm.
And... like, that's where they got the idea from, is how I believed it to be. Yeah. So,
I was definitely thinking, I was like, is that, did I just see the arcade game, Rampage?
You know, it's funny how when I was, because I know what the game is, and I've seen the trailer, I know loosely what the movie's about, and I went in there, and I was like, the opening scene, I was like, why is this movie starting in space?
Yeah.
Why the hell is it starting in space?
They actually did an okay job of explaining that. Like, once you let that first 7-8 minutes play out, I was okay with that.
Me too. It was a good introduction.
Killed everybody.
Yeah, apparently.
Sorry, spoilers. It happens in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Well, it's not a spoiler.
No, it's not. It was weird to me I started in space, number one. But I didn't mind the samples all shooting down to the three different spots where they found the animals.
Where are the other two samples?
There were five
that you put in that box.
I thought she only grabbed three.
I thought it was five. So maybe I'm wrong. But see, I looked at it first five. It means there's two more out there. That means we get a second movie.
No. I think
we 100% get a second Rampage movie.
Mm-hmm. If it's...
I think we do.
No, box office, absolutely.
Right?
So why not? There's two other giant animals out there running around.
Well, we don't.
At least you could think of it that way.
Okay.
Because you know what? I'd be interested to see it maybe go overseas. Maybe it's in Africa or maybe some place in Europe. Because
it better be in Tokyo.
It better be
in Tokyo. And there better be a giant lizard.
No one's ever done that before.
Come on, man.
No one's ever done that before.
No, that's an idea.
Why do you think Rampage has made a ton of money?
Well, of course.
Give it up.
Giant monsters, man. Destroying stuff.
Well, of course. King Kong and Godzilla. I mean, it's...
Sure.
They're not quite interchangeable, but they're close to the point where...
Well, Godzilla's not interchangeable.
No, but you're watching the same movie a lot of the time.
Sure, sure. But, I mean, Godzilla's will always be more iconic than King Kong.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on who you talk to. But no. I think you're probably right as far as percentage goes. A large number of people would definitely agree with you.
If you showed a giant monkey, they'd be like, why is that a giant monkey? You show a picture of Godzilla, be like, hey, it's Godzilla.
Godzilla!
King Kong is not.
No need to be racist,
iconic.
Nick.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Unnecessary, sir.
Sorry, everyone.
Is there any. Before we get to the weird climax in the city, Chicago, which I was actually there, I actually saw some of those scenes being shot. It was really cool. How would you guys like the other parts of the film? About the being on the plane and then surviving the plane crash?
I mean, that's just.
I mean, people can survive plane crashes, especially when they jump out with a parachute. I don't know why you're that surprised.
Well, no, I'm not. It's just
very true.
I mean, they were the only three.
Yeah,
everybody else died. At least I assumed that they did.
Doesn't Brad Pitt survive in World War Z? Like,
oh my God, where he's the only person strapped in the plane?
Yeah. Well, no, him and the other girl survived in World War Z. The girl he was.
Oh yeah, because yeah, they were in yeah. the
The only two who survived are the one of the two that are important to the story. Yeah. How did that happen?
Shocker!
Shocker that happened.
I saw that movie got delayed again.
The second World War Z 2,
yeah.
The first one got delayed. But it had to be reshot
900 times.
Yeah. It was a good movie though.
It's not good.
I like World War Z.
That's cool. It's not good.
To each his own.
No.
Fair.
No.
All right, it's not a World War Z episode. Jesus.
It could be.
You and Sherlock Holmes, gnomes, and
we're gonna talk about that now. Let's talk about that voice cast. All
right, talk about Rampage and Marvel. Rampage and Marvel.
I mean, obviously, this is taken from a video game, but the story, the overall story.
There is no story in Rampage.
Exactly,
it's destroying stuff.
Yeah, but it didn't grab me. You know, it didn't.
I don't think it grabbed anybody.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't.
Did you like thrilled. It?
Dozed off twice.
I mean, that's
fair.
I won't say I didn't like it because
You clearly didn't like it that much because you fell asleep. Yeah. So I mean, I get what you're saying with that. I do. But, you know, me and Grace were talking beforehand. And Grace, did you like the movie?
It was a lot of fun. Yeah. I enjoyed it. Yes. Yes. I went to the movie expecting fun but no quality. And that's exactly what I got. Yep. You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
So the one thing that I stated when I left this movie, I was more satisfied with this movie than when I left the theater after I watched Blockers.
Okay.
And I mean that because I thought Blockers was going to be funnier than what it was, and it wasn't. And I thought Rampage was going to be the worst movie I've seen in a long time, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
And that made me semi-happy, you know? Because, listen, Rampage isn't great. It doesn't try to be great. It does not...
No, it's very aware of what it is.
Does not push, like, hey, we're going to win 9 Oscars for acting in this movie. No, they're not. Not going to happen. But it's... Overall, the tone of this movie is generally fun.
Mm-hmm.
The monkey's fun. The rock's the rock.
Yep.
Everybody else is all right.
Yeah, I mean, Harris is hot. Like, I mean, everyone is what they need to be. You know, Jeffrey Dean Morgan's that cool, kind of mysterious guy. That, you know, I mean, he's the cowboy.
He's the badass. Yeah, comes out of nowhere.
Like my granddaddy always says. What does granddaddy always say about being an asshole? I forget the line, but it's...
Not assholes.
You're never alone.
Together.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's yeah. it. Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
All right,
but I mean, it's fun. I liked it.
It'd be a fun.
I would watch it again.
I have movie pass. it's kind of funny. What movie pass is becoming to a lot of people is. Mm. Yeah, movie pass is free to me. Whatever.
Oh, I did have an issue with my movie pass, by the way.
Ooh,
when I swiped my movie pass, it told me I still had 38 cents at the local theater.
Which theater?
I was at local AMC.
That's weird.
It was weird.
No,
it's odd.
Is that
so I gave him a dollar.
Is that because of the tax?
I don't know. I don't know what it was.
It should cover the tax.
It's supposed to cover it. So I sent out a thing to MoviePass, and that was 5 days ago.
They're never going
to
get back.
Still waiting to wonder where my 38 cents is. But, yes. You know, I'm just saying.
You're never going
to
see it.
No, I'm not ever going to see it. But I just thought that was weird. The first issue I've had with MoviePass, period. So still get MoviePass.
I've never had an issue with it except for... I've had an issue with AMC.
Well, that's where I was, but I mean that was a different kind of.
They were forcing me to use my. They were forcing me to use my points. I think we talked about this before. They were forcing me to use my points, and I didn't want to use them. But I think that's how they're combating MoviePass.
But so see, I still don't understand why do they care?
Because
they have to look at it though. Is listen, you paid $10 for a movie. You swipe your little debit card. Why do they care where the movie money comes from?
Well, because I'm sure. I'm sure that they were just late to the party and making their own version of MoviePass, but it would have been $30 or $40
mm-hmm.
It would have been at minimum $30 for 2 free movies a month. It's a free popcorn. That's what it would have been. Like, there's no arguing that.
Yep. At our local company, at the other theater, Marquee, I can literally just walk up to the kiosk, punch in what I want, swipe my card, and nobody knows that I paid with a MoviePass.
Well, that's the thing. The MoviePass is the kiosks at AMC they can't separate the card from a MasterCard.
No, they can't.
There's no way. So well, the only way.
Neither can their POS system.
No one can. So just get a card overlay. If you go to the person and so they don't heckle you, just get a card overlay and put it over your card. Make some weird, you know.
Make a weird overlay says this is not a movie pass.
This is not a movie pass.
This is a movie pass. No, it's not.
Every time somebody takes my movie pass, they're like, oh, you have movie pass. I'm like, just swipe the card, dude.
Just swipe, let's get it over with.
Let's go.
No, this is exactly what you get with Rampage. You get exactly what you're going into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, big creatures destroying a city and the Rock shooting
the grenade launcher.
At a thing that does no damage. Like, he just sits like, come on, like, that's awesome. That was... You know, that's to me like the Rock when the shot is Rock standing with a grenade launcher and a grenades around his belt like a commando in
like
Vietnam.
Rambo.
And then George behind him, like there is a team getting ready to fight this big ass thing. And I was like, yeah. Because last time I was like that was when in the fourth Transformers movie when Optimus Prime comes riding out of the fourth with a huge sword riding a robot dinosaur. Yeah. Like that's
remarkable.
That's what it means to be a man, right there. Like that's it.
This is awesome.
This is awesome.
I mean, I look at it too as, you know, just coming off very recently watching the second Pacific Rim movie. Like it's the same vein.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. You know what you're getting when you go into it. You just giant thing.
You should expect things to get broken.
Of course.
It was a loud movie.
All right, so we're gonna start to cover the first nine Marvel movies in order of release. Just a few minutes talking about them. Everyone's seen them, but I do just want to cover them briefly.
Hey, we're gonna have 10-year-old spoilers.
Sorry if we spoiled it.
Sorry.
All right, Iron Man, May of 2008. Jon Favreau director, and you know the cast: Robert Downey Jr., Gwyneth Paltrow, Terrence Howard. Well, the list goes on.
That movie still holds up.
Mm-hmm. That it absolutely does.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to Jon Favreau.
Favreau's, I think, a little ahead of his time.
Yeah. Like,
I really think so.
He's definitely one of those directors where you're like, wow, this is kind of surprising.
I just think he understands the concept. He understands the material.
Yeah.
And that's evident with other movies he makes, too. Like, I think he gets the source material.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always a strength in that.
So just recently rewatched that because I've been trying to run through them all. The jokes still hold up. The acting definitely still holds up besides old Rhodey's Terrence Howard, which I wonder if he feels like he missed the boat on that.
He did miss the boat. He wanted... You know why he didn't do the second one?
Why?
He wanted more money. They wouldn't give it to him.
I'm not surprised by that.
But, like, how are you so greedy that you don't...
Because he won an Oscar for Hustle and Flow.
I mean...
Because he's probably the best actual actor in that movie.
Mm-hmm. He is. I mean...
But I mean, they don't
you're
use
quabbling
him.
Over pennies at that point.
They don't use him to any real thing in that call. But, I mean, and then, so here's the one thing that I was really surprised on what still held up is the animation, the fight scenes with the robots. Now, obviously, things have come a long way in 10 or 11 years, and, you know, it's definitely evident a little bit, but I wasn't disappointed. I didn't look at it and go, man, like, that looks hokey now.
Yeah.
Because it still looks great.
No, it still looks fantastic, actually.
Still looks great.
He built this in a cave.
Yeah.
You guys can't build one in a lab.
Yeah, in a lab.
Without rocks. So, first Iron Man, I mean, everyone's seen it. Robert Downey Jr., again, perfect choice for Stark. Or one of the perfect choices, you know?
And this is one of the things that I'm probably going to reiterate over the next couple weeks. Just some of these superheroes, it's almost like they were born to play them.
Well, Tony Stark just... Or Downey Jr. fit the bill of Tony Stark.
Very true, so. Yeah.
Because he was Tony Stark. He lived his life like he was Tony
Stark. He really did.
He really does. It was a good choice for... He was a good choice for Iron Man, for sure.
So I have a question for you, Nick,
mm-hmm.
since you're a young man. How old were you when the first Iron Man came out? May of 2008.
Oh, man.
10 years ago.
How old are you now?
I am 23, about to be
23. Oh, my God, you were a wee boy.
So, yeah, I was 13.
You were a wee boy.
And I think I watched this 2009 Christmas. When did it come out in 2008?
May.
It was in May.
Okay, so I definitely watched it Christmas that year.
Like, you didn't watch it until Christmas?
No, he probably got it on DVD or something.
Yeah, I got it.
See,
that
I would
100%
believe.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's crazy to bring that up.
Oh, man.
Well,
I was thinking about that, because that in itself, from the first time you ever watched that movie, of being significantly younger than I was when I first watched it, the difference that you would have for a way that movie would like connect to you. Like mm-hmm. as an adult watching that movie, I'm like, okay, I can see that. But as a kid, like you're like, oh my God, this is so awesome. Yeah. You know, like crazy stuff flying mm-hmm. around and blowing up. And it's, I mean, that's why I wonder about things like that. Now, as we get into the more recent movies, you know, like Black Panther that came out, you know, 10 weeks ago or whatever, mm-hmm. obviously it connects with it differently as an adult. Yeah. But when you look at that, you're like, okay, that matters more to me. You're like, why? That's why in your mind, there will never be anybody besides Iron Man as Robert Downey Jr. Like, it could never be that. No.
That's so true.
You're right. You're right. It was a good, I really liked, things I liked about the movie, things I remember the most when I think about Iron Man is when he gives that press conference about soldiers who died protecting him. Mm-hmm. You know, it was
heartfelt.
It was heartfelt, but it was a good move to make for the writer of the film. I mean, for Favreau to include that scene for him to focus on that scene was, you know, that's kind of like, these soldiers gave their lives for me, and I'm going to protect them mm-hmm. with how I know. And, like, that's what I remember. And then, you know, of course, the scene on the rooftop where he's willing to sacrifice himself to stop what's the guy's
Obadiah.
Name? Obadiah. No, Obadiah. What's the machine's name?
I don't know.
Oh, Obadiah is using his for evil, of course, but he's willing to sacrifice himself to stop him. Mm-hmm. So I mean, that's very heroic. That's what I've always liked about that. Before we move on, do you guys want to talk about anything else about Iron Man? Or just...
I mean, playboy billionaire superhero. What else are you gonna say about him?
The one line that always will stick out to me from the first Iron Man movie is
trash.
No, well that's funny, but when the very last part of the movie, when he's at the press conference and he's like, yeah, bodyguard of mine, and he's like, and she stands up and she's like, are we supposed to believe that you have this elaborate bodyguard wearing a thing? And he just takes the cards and flips them behind him. He's like, I'm Iron Man. And then the movie just drops. Like, that's the end of the movie. And I'm like, it's still awesome.
Yeah. Epic. I am Iron Man. The credits roll.
Yeah, like just blaring AC/DC.
Yeah, it's a good choice. It's a very good choice.
Absolutely.
Incredible Hulk, 2008, June of 2008. June 2008 was a big year for Marvel.
Yep.
I loved Edward Norton. I always love Edward Norton. Mm-hmm. He does, even though Hollywood hates him. I love Edward Norton. Hollywood I like the Tyler Tim Roth.
Yeah, he's a weirdo too.
Who?
He's Ed Norton. Norton? He's a weirdo.
He's fantastic though.
No, he's fine. I like him. I think I think he does great things. He's a weirdo. Mm-hmm.
That one was brought to us by Louis Leterrier. Zach Penn helped write it. Edward Norton, Liv Tyler, Tim Roth. What do you guys think? Oh, William Hurt. I can't forget William Hurt.
This is the one Marvel movie everybody forgets exists.
It really
is. All only because
Ed Norton's not there.
He's not Hulk. People forget that, you know.
But no, everybody knows that Terrence Howard's not Rhodey now, though. Everybody knows that.
But, I mean, we also got three Iron Man movies.
Yeah.
We got one Hulk.
Sure.
So.
And, I mean, that's what there was... There were three Hulk movies, like, from 2000, 2008, weren't there?
We don't talk about those.
Well, it's a whole different world, though. Like, they don't count that stuff.
There's also the Lou Ferrigno Hulk show.
Oh, yeah.
We don't talk about that. But it's just interesting to realize that those movies just didn't work.
No.
You know? No, they didn't.
Well, I mean, this movie works. Mm-hmm. This movie's a perfectly serviceable movie. People just forget that it exists because Ed Norton isn't part of the universe.
No, he's not. I mean, it's one of the... But the reason... This was after they decided they were going to unify the Marvel. Mm-hmm. So it was... I'm sure it was a lot more caretaken than the one in 2002 with Eric Bana.
Yeah.
That one also we don't talk about. But
so, and here's my question, because I never understood and I never even thought of looking. Why wasn't Edward Norton
It's a couple of million reasons. It's all cash again. He wanted more money, and they said, you know what? Whatever, dude.
Yeah. I actually think Mark Ruffalo, yes, is great.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
he's excellent.
Yeah.
He's excellent. But he's Mark Ruffalo. He's also a good actor.
Yeah, very true.
Well, I mean, Edward's a good actor, too.
No, he is. Absolutely. But you look at Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk now. Mm-hmm. You don't look back at this, the one guy who got his own solo Hulk movie, you don't consider him the Hulk.
Do you think that, just like Terrence Howard, he like, one great regret right there?
No, because he's just weird enough not to care.
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got other things going on,
He's
too.
Fine.
Yeah, he'll be
Fight
right.
Club is never going to die. He's always had residual.
Don't you ever worry about it.
Yeah.
You know, I love, my favorite Ed Norton movie is American History X.
Fantastic
love
movie.
Oh my God.
I love him in the Grand Budapest Hotel, where he's just like this little army sergeant.
Mm-hmm.
But he's definitely an interesting person. And going back to Mark Ruffalo as being the Hulk, he's definitely filled his role. I mean, Thor Ragnarok, I think we
well that get, that's get the most basically your second Hulk movie.
It's
just as much a Hulk movie as it is a Thor movie.
Yeah.
Which is great. That is great. I can't wait to talk about that movie again. Alright. So
moving on to
I have one more thing about Hulk. The weird thing about Hulk is the fact that there are other characters from the Hulk story that probably should make an appearance in other Marvel movies that they haven't yet. Like the general, Thunderbolt Ross, in comic book world, he becomes what is the Red Hulk for the first time, and they haven't done anything along that line yet. And I always wondered, with knowing things are changing after this Avengers movie, if something like that comes back into play. Obviously, probably a new actor at this point, but I wouldn't be surprised if something like that happened.
Mm-hmm. It's cool because they all have their, like, Iron Man has Rhodey as another Iron Man. I mean, Captain America has Bucky Barnes, like a second Captain America. Yeah. You know, that's really kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Iron Man 2, May 7th, 2010, brought to us by Jon Favreau again, didn't give up his franchise. Robert Downey Jr., Mickey Rourke joined the cast in this one. Gwyneth Paltrow. Iron Man 2 is kind of the black sheep of the Iron Man movies. Right, that's what I'm...
Bad villain.
Yeah. Was Mickey Rourke the right fit? Do you think he...
It's not his... Rourke did fine. It's not his fault. Yeah, no, it's just a bad... It's a character nobody cares about. Like, they try to build this up as it matters, and by the end of it, you're like, I don't care.
Well, I just think it's one of those things... I remember reading a very similar thing happens. A studio said, we want another one. Favreau's like, I'm not ready for another one. And then just, well, with or without you, Favreau, you're on or you're not. So.
Either you're going to drive it, or we're going to replace you.
Another driver.
Oh, God.
So, I'm sure it's one of those instances where he's like, fine, Jesus. Like Sam Raimi in the third Spider-Man movie.
Sure.
He was in production, and they said, add Venom. He's like,
I don't want to do that.
The story's not there yet. Yeah. And then they're like, we can replace you. And he's like, no, I'll take the paycheck, thanks.
That's, I mean, what do you do, it's the business, you know? Yeah, I mean.
It's all money. Anyway, so Iron Man 2, following the huge success of the first Iron Man, wasn't crazy about Iron Man 2, I gotta be honest. The hype couldn't have been higher for me, but I felt let, a lot like I do with big features. I feel let down by the actual product. That's just
it's escaping my mind. Is this where we meet War Machine? Is this
yes?
Yeah. Okay. Yes. That's
well, we meet War Machine at the end of the first Iron Man when Terrence Howard like he looks at it and
says
like,
not this time.
He's like next time, baby. Yeah. Next time. Like you know.
Jokes on you, Terrence Howard. Never.
Never again, Terrence. Never.
So, with Iron Man 2, like, there are some really underrated parts of this movie. One, Don Cheadle becoming Rhodey, and then Rhodey becoming the War Machine. It's cool. It's great. But the real dynamic of this movie, because Whiplash is probably, Mickey Rourke character is probably one of the most forgettable villains that they run through here, is the fact that the real problem that Tony has is he's dying.
Yeah.
Like his suit, his heart is killing him.
Yeah, that's good.
He gets crazy reckless, doesn't give a shit about anything, ends up fighting Rhodey in his house. And blows the side of the house up. And gets put on house arrest by S.H.I.E.L.D., which is where he ends up inventing the new element that changes everything going forward. But, I mean, that's the real side of the story. That's when you meet Black Widow as well. Mm-hmm. You meet her in this as well. So... It's not the best, obviously. Yeah, it's not the best, but like there are real things that matter in this movie because you meet Tony Stark in Iron Man 1 and you meet the downside of Tony Stark in Iron Man 2 where he's just partying again. He's Iron Man, he's super famous, doesn't care, he's rich as hell, he quits being the CEO, gives the pepper, you know.
Pepper.
So that stuff matters. Mm-hmm. That stuff matters.
It does. I'm just talking about what you thought of it in general.
It's not the best.
And what about Sam Rockwell? I like Sam Rockwell in this too. He was a weird kind of puppet, his character like a pawn. But
find me a movie you don't like Sam Rockwell in.
That's a good point. There aren't many. I like Sam Rockwell a lot. As a matter of fact, we just saw him recently in Three Billboards.
Yep.
Fantastic movie. It's funny. I went into that movie. A quick aside. I'm just like, God, I have to watch this because I came out like that is my favorite movie of this Oscar selection is Three Billboards.
Award winning Sam Rockwell.
That's right.
That's a hell of a movie.
Oscar award winner, just like Transformers.
All right, forget that. To Thor, the first Thor. May 6, 2011. God, Marvel loved May. I'll tell you what.
Well, that's they own it.
Yeah.
They really do.
They own it.
Not this year.
Skip a couple of years, and then we come into Thor.
I really enjoyed Thor, the first one. I mean...
Thor is one of my favorite origin stories of all the Marvel characters.
Yeah.
The first Thor, yeah.
One thing that I remember from is when he's trying to get drunk, but he can't.
Mm-hmm.
It's just he's slamming beers and he's like, I can't do this. I don't know.
Well, so that real quick, that one is that one's brought to us by Kenneth Branagh. I always forget he made Thor. Kenneth Branagh made Thor in 2011. Talking about favorite scenes. Of course, when he walks in the pet shop, he's like, I need a horse!
Horse! I need a horse! The guy's like, we don't have horses here. Hey, no, he goes, we have puppies, cats, and birds. He goes, give me one large enough to ride.
Jesus. I need a horse!
That's a lot of fun.
Or when he spikes the coffee cup on the ground, he's like, this drink is delicious. Another! He's like, you gotta stop doing that.
Oh, man.
I do like like I said, Thor is my... maybe my favorite origin stories of the Avengers. I don't know. What do you guys think about that? Like, what's your favorite origin story?
Well, mine's Captain America, but I'll dive into that a little.
That's a close
more.
Second for me, but...
It'll always be Iron Man.
Oh, wow, we're in the trifecta. Oh,
right? It'll always be Iron Man.
All right, that's fair.
I don't know. Black Panther is going to probably be up there, but it's...
Yeah.
Not for me.
But well, you don't really get an origin story with him. You meet him in Civil War, and he's already Black Panther.
Yeah, very
so
true.
So maybe that's unfair to say.
It's...
Honest, what do you
it's unfair to say, but...
So, short version for me for the first Thor movie, it kind of sets the tone where magic is possible.
Mm-hmm.
You meet other realms and stuff like that, which is cool. You meet Loki, who is by far the best villain because he stays the most consistent villain in everything. You do meet characters that do continue on, like Erik Selvig, the scientist becomes a very important part of the next couple of movies at least.
Most of them do. Continue. I mean, Portman's character.
Portman goes to the next one. Everybody from the first Thor goes to the second Thor at least. So, and then you meet his idiot friends, which they kind of get lost in the shuffle.
They're funny. They're comic relief.
Yeah, and it's fine because I look at it going, if I was Thor, I know which one of my idiot friends each one of them would be. So,
that's fair.
I get that.
So. You know, we also introduced one of the best characters in the Marvel Universe. I think is Heimdall.
Heimdall.
Yeah, badass. And Idris Elba. Good for you, right? You fucking own that, man.
That's right. And I think he's going to be the first person to die.
Oh man,
in Avengers. Yeah.
Well, Heimdall's super. Like he's more Captain America than Captain America. Like if it's not morally good, Heimdall won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Won't do it. That's what I like about Heimdall. I think if he dies in this one, isn't there a thing? Wasn't he in the one in the running for being James next James Bond?
He was, but Daniel Craig's still James Bond, so he's doing the next
Fair.
One. So,
oh, he is?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
By the way, I saw it on sale on Amazon. You can get the first, for $100, you get the first, all the first up to Spectre, the first James Bond films.
$100, huh?
That's
a damn good deal.
Remaster? No.
No, ooh, remaster.
Don't care. Oh, wait, 4K?
I saw no remaster. I don't think it was 4K remaster.
No way.
It doesn't matter. It's
get out of here with that.
That's still a good deal.
Still, I mean, how...
If you've not seen a large chunk of them, that's a good $100.
That's
sure.
Getting back to Thor, we all agree. Two thumbs up around the table, Thor.
Thor's fine, sure.
All right. Moving on. As
Captain America is the next one.
Captain America, the first Avenger. Another one of those movies. This is, again, Thor and Captain America for me at origin stories. Like, right there, Iron Man, like, distant third, but... I love these two. I love Captain America.
It's good to be wrong.
Okay.
Humility.
Humility, fair. I love Chris Evans' Captain America. He's another one
of course.
That's a perfect person for Captain America. Chris Evans.
Oh, no problem with Chris Evans' Captain America. None at all. Good. Zero.
Mm-hmm. Joe Johnson brought us this one in 2011, in July of 2011. Chris Evans, Hugo Weaving, Samuel Jackson. I mean, and
what a strong round with Hugo Weaving being Red Skull, man. Come on. Jonas Smith.
Red Skull to me is one of those very forgettable villains, unfortunately.
Hold on. He's not dead.
Like,
he got sucked.
Now?
No. If you just. I've just been rewatching this. I just forgot about this.
You think Hugo Weaving?
He gets sucked into the Tesseract, dude, and he gets beamed into space somewhere. Mm. How do you know Red Skull is dead?
Because he doesn't have anything on IMDb.
Well, fair. But yeah, I mean, he's. Like, one day, if Red Skull comes wandering back into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I'd be like. I get it.
Yeah. Well, he's very Hitler-esque,
cool,
too.
Man. Yeah, right?
He wasn't, but he was against
come Hitler. Back leading an army.
Yeah.
The one thing that I really love about Captain America is... Yeah.
Say it, Nick. I knew you were going to say it.
I don't know. His character is... he's a political puppet at first. You know, he's a stage man.
I know what you're saying.
And then he's like, fuck this. You know, I want to win this fight.
I'm doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fair.
That's why I love Chris Evans as Captain America. You know, he goes in, balls blazing, he tries to win World War II.
World War II. I do love, I think one of the strongest scenes in any of these Marvel movies is, especially being man-to-man before Chris Evans, before he's Steve Rogers, Captain America, and when he sits down with the Stanley Tucci character mm-hmm. and talks about you have to be a good man first before you can be a hero. And like, that's okay. a wonderful conversation.
When he offers him a drink of liquor and then he takes it from him and he's like, you have a procedure in the morning? Oh, right. And he goes, well, we'll drink it after. He pours it in his own glass. He goes, I don't have a procedure in the morning. And he just chugs it in front of him. Yeah.
That, I think, is, if not the best conversation, one of the best conversations in these 18 Marvel movies. So
actually,
I'll
counter that with one other part from earlier in that movie. When Bucky first saves him from getting his ass kicked in the alley, when like the dude is just wailing on him, and he's like, "I can do this all day," because that line becomes a running theme through every Captain America mm-hmm. movie. When something bad's going on, he's like, "I can do this all day.
Yeah,
okay. I can do this all day," and he's just getting punched in the face, like not even mounting an offense, just getting slugged in the face.
Well, it doesn't matter. Like, you can punch him all day.
You could just leave, dude. You don't have to stand here and get punched in the face. I respect that, though. But good.
I really love first Captain. Again, to me, one of the weakest parts is Red Skull. He's kind of a weak villain to me. But
yeah,
that's just it's again. That, I don't know where that. Where
well, it couldn't be Hitler.
So. That's true. I mean, when in doubt, Nazi out, right? So,
that's right.
When in doubt, Nazi out. That's Captain America, the first Avenger. Moving on to the first Avengers film, May of 2012. They really do own May. May just
that's called, their thing, dude.
It's called Marvel Month. In May.
That's right.
That the start of. The Avengers movie is powerful.
I mean, think this movie is as good as it could have been. The first Avengers movie. I really wasn't expecting something of this high caliber, especially from Joss Whedon. Whoa. That was his first huge scale.
It's like it's pretty much perfect.
It's very good.
Like I remember walking out of the first Avengers movie. It was my job. I was employed at the movie theater at the time. Walking out, going, okay. Like that's right, like, well, I mean like I knew like you
raise
knew.
The bar
because well, the one thing about that movie, the pacing in that movie, there's never been a movie paced like that where it's basically an action sequence for 2 hours mm-hmm. consecutively, and the hour of the movie's 2 hours and 20 minutes or so, and it's 2 hours of that is basically a fight of some sort. So
especially when like the city's under peril and they're mm-hmm. like in the end they're trying to save it.
It's a long time. Like that fight goes on for a long time.
And there's an awesome shot of when especially when the sequencing of when Eric Bana when or not Eric Bana
Mark Ruffalo
I'm saying that is they're like how do you control it, and he gets like the secret, and he tells the secret as he's like the shot is behind him. Thing is flying towards him.
He's like, I'm always angry.
Yeah,
and he's always
the secret is always
walking
angry.
Away.
Awesome! Oh my goodness! But that's also one of the after that, everyone's like, does no one ever talk about the amount of destruction the Avengers caused?
Well, I mean, we just talked about Rampage. Let's talk about the downtown Chicago getting leveled. I mean,
that was. Okay,
but you know what, though? They actually do talk about how much damage happens in Avengers. That's basically what Iron Man 3 is.
Well,
Iron Man
that's
3.
That's what I'm saying. It's self-aware.
Well,
like
they become self-aware because they lead in, and we'll talk about Iron Man 3 here very soon because it is the next movie in the slot here. But that is a big part. Like, Tony has problems. All these people are dead. That city's leveled. He's got PTSD. Mm-hmm. Like, those are real human being problems that superhero man has. Like, that really does happen.
Well, Stark has the money to, like, help rebuild the city. And then, there's untold massive damage done in the first Avengers. But they're not doing the damage either. What my counter argument to everyone was, but they weren't. They were just trying to minimize
they're stopping
the
bad guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
From destroying the world.
You give up one city from the entire universe. Or
world. I mean, that's a fair trade. Sorry if you're living there, but that's a fair trade.
Sucks. I mean, it's the argument that would you rather have superheroes helping you, or would you rather be enslaved by some. Being.
Well, that was kind of like, that was the interesting thing they brought in Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
The movie Watchmen.
Kill one to save a million?
Or, like, the Watchmen are, like, outlawed now, and they're, like, they're trying to hunt them down.
Yeah.
I think that is, in itself, would be an interesting Avengers film, and these guys are all now being hunted.
They kind of have that. It's called The Incredibles. Pixar made it. They all become outlawed.
No, but not on that, okay, fine. When you break it down between actual descriptions of film, I could see that, but... No, I think that'd be interesting. At least one of the Marvel movies is now they're being hunted down and trying to kill because, mm-hmm. of course, the U.S. government now fears them because they're too powerful. But, I mean, I wouldn't ever, but... And again, I don't know if the Marvel...
Actually, that's kind of Civil War, man. It's the Sokovia Accord.
Yeah, exactly.
But they're not... The government's kind of working with half of them, and it's kind of weird. And what was the one we're getting into, one of the ones... Winter Soldier, that's not one of the first nine. No,
it
not.
Is.
Winter Soldier?
I think it's like at the back end.
It should be one of the last ones.
Oh, it is. I have it. Okay. That's one with Redford. Okay, that's when we're getting there. Yep. So, first Avengers movie, very good. Culminates this huge attack in the city, which it lasts like...
Forever. It's a long time.
But, you know, it ends. It all ends all well. You see the A in the Stark Towers, obviously the A of the Avengers, so that's pretty cool. Introduced to a lot more characters there. You see how they all work together in unison. I think we can all agree, first Avengers movie is a hell of a movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's when you get to the second Avengers movie.
Hold on. One more thing about the Avengers movie. So with Avengers, this is the first one you see everybody playing with each other, okay? Mm-hmm. In almost every one of the major movies past this point, somebody else appears in another movie, at least in some capacity. Like, that keeps happening.
Whether it's at the end.
At the end, or, you know, like a snippet of something like in Dark World Thor, where they have the Chris Evans walking around, I'd like to have a rousing question.
Oh, right.
Where Loki plays Chris Evans. Like, that keeps happening throughout the movies. And I think that's one of the most endearing things throughout the entire Marvel universe.
Well, especially now they're all unified. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, studios aren't squabbling over contract issues.
And nope.
Now that Spider-Man's involved, it's going in a good place.
Yeah.
So... takes us to Iron Man 3, May.
Oh, surprise.
2013. Again, this is not one of my stronger Marvel movies. And I love a lot of people liked it and made a ton of money. It's just, for me, it's just one of the ones that I just don't care much about.
Well, when you're making this many movies and you're balancing all these superheroes, it's tough, but then it's not at the same time. I mean...
go on.
It's hard to make, like, three blockbusters that are actually, like, insanely good that ties in with
the
story.
Well, you think the bar is just set too high, and that's why people don't like Iron Man 3 as much?
Well, I mean, that's definitely... Well,
Iron Man 2, though, I mean, you only had Up to go.
Very true.
But the Avengers came after, that was a pretty high bar set for the Avengers, so...
Well, the one thing about this movie, too, is, again... each one of the Iron Man movies individually are different movies. They are the most different of any one of the movies. Like, each Captain America movie is a Captain America movie. Like, you know what's going on. He's trying to save the government, save the USA, blah, 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 that sort of stuff. Patriotic, rah, rah, okay? Thor, hey, there's weird stuff happening. I have a flying hammer. I'm going to go stop it. Like, that stuff happens. In Iron Man 1, he becomes Iron Man, changes everything. In Iron Man 2... Iron Man 2, he's faced with his own mortality. He's dying, okay? So he's doing things the way he thinks he should to make everything right before he dies. And in Iron Man 3, just like I said a few minutes ago, he is facing the real-life repercussions as he has PTSD, all these people died, he feels really, really bad about it. He's contemplating not being Iron Man anymore, okay? Like, that's really what's happening here. He's blacking out with a suit on, blasting himself across the country. He's having traumatic stress syndrome. Like, it's happening to him, okay? And this real movie is about how the rich billionaire guy deals with that. And it actually kind of becomes, with him and Rhodey, some weird buddy cop movie. Like, that's what they do. Like, that's what happens in this movie. Like, he's not full on, like, I need to rally up the troops and go kill this dude. He's like, yeah, I'm having some trouble. This is how I'm going to work through it myself. Each one of those Iron Man movies are different than the ones previous to it. And this is the one that's just the most weird to people. Mm-hmm. So, but... if you look at it, if it didn't say Iron Man 3, would you hate it if it was Iron Man 2 or Iron Man 1? Like, if Iron Man was suddenly established in the universe and Avengers was the very first movie and this was Iron Man, would you think it was bad?
No, probably not. You're probably right about this.
You make it.
Because, like,
point.
If Avengers was the start of the timeline, like, all this stuff happened and that's the first solo Iron Man movie, you'd be like, okay. I'm good with it.
Would it be different Avengers? Like, they
that's exactly what I was just thinking.
No origin stories.
Would it have the same feeling? Would you?
No, you're right.
It wouldn't.
Very, very different.
It wouldn't.
Extremely different.
I mean, it'd almost be like DC.
Good for
ouch,
you, Dick.
That's
good
a
for
burn
you,
right there.
All right. Move, bring this to Thor the Dark World, November of 2013. This is also kind of the one that... the sequels, kind of... the second one are always kind of, like, not well-received.
This is the movie, besides Hulk, that I enjoy the least.
I like certain elements about this. I like how everyone came back, like we said before.
Everybody.
I like how, you know, Loki's sacrifice. I thought that was really cool. Mm-hmm. And in the end, it's like, damn you, Loki!
Yeah.
Crap.
Again, though, this movie... there are real-world repercussions from what happened in the Avengers movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Eric the lead scientist is still all jacked up because Loki was inside of his brain. Mm-hmm. Like, this is still happening to this poor
bastard. Well, and he also, because Loki was controlling him, he's actually, well, if you're talking about a person responsible for, he did a lot of that destruction. Oh, yeah. He caused it with that machine. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, there's also that.
Oh, yeah, real world problems.
Again, this is one of those ones that, one of the scenes I thought was the funniest in this, in the Thor Dark World, was when, remember when the hammer was coming back to Thor?
And it's going up through space and suddenly turns and goes.
It's going through all these different portals. Yeah, but then it flies past them and they're all standing there. No, if it goes past them, Thor goes and the hammer goes and they're like, Thor. And they're like, Mjolnir.
Oh, yeah. Darcy goes, hey, Mjolnir. And he just flies through the air behind him. Like, she's like, oh. Hello.
Like it's a common occurrence that she sees Mjolnir every day. It's like, yeah, Mjolnir.
Just flying through. It is funny.
That's great.
This is the one where he starts to not be a child anymore. Like, in the first, he's kind of a child. This one, like, he starts to understand sacrifice, starts to understand what it means to be king, mm-hmm. or to be prepped to be king, which he knows he is going to be. So that's kind of why I like this one. It's not bad.
It's just not as strong as the first one. Definitely not as strong as the third one.
The third one is...
That is Thor's masterpiece.
I think it's the best Thor movie. It's not my favorite Thor movie. I like the first Thor, but
okay. I mean that's fair because that's straight up opinion. So
yeah, I mean those opinion, but I'm willing to admit that Ragnarok is better than the first Thor. I get that.
Sure.
So especially the another day, another Doug.
Oh my god.
So what do you have to say about Thor Dark World before we move on?
It's just, it is what it is, man.
It's kind of, besides the Infinity Stone, it's pretty forgettable.
You know what Thor Dark World is to me is like, they're like, we gotta do it, so let's just do it and get it over with. Mm-hmm. Like Marvel Studios, and we have to put a Thor movie out before we can get, so they just, it's kind of generic in a way.
Yeah, exactly. This is the Dark Elves.
Well, this movie also almost cost Chris Hemsworth, because he didn't want to do solo Thor movies anymore, mm-hmm. because he didn't like this movie.
Wow. And then Ragnarok comes along.
Well, he was one of the ones that's only contractually set to go to the end of 4, Avengers 4. So he said he's more than open to do more now, especially solo stuff, as long as he's with Wahidi. So,
okay, all right.
Which, I mean, that's great. Like, stuff like that's awesome. But yeah, this movie almost cost us Chris Hemsworth going forward. So.
That's not a fair trade. Like,
we need him.
So, yeah. We need his beautiful blonde hair.
Could you bring in Liam and still have the same effect?
I don't know. Liam, love Liam. Like, we saw on the commuter, crappy movie, but Liam saved it. He made it watchable.
He means Liam Hemsworth.
Yeah. Oh, this is Liam Neeson. I was like, what?
Stop this.
Like, I was like,
I knew what you were talking about.
You like think Liam Hemsworth could possibly be Chris Hemsworth?
I mean, all right, so we're just going to brush through that.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was thinking.
But they're twins, right?
No, they're not twins, but they're brothers.
Although he was good in the Expendables movie.
Mm-hmm. For seven minutes.
Yeah.
And then he died. Sorry, Billy. All right, last one of the time, Captain America: The Winter Soldier, 2014, April 2014. This one, I think this is the best Marvel movie. Of all the Marvel movies so far, I think The Winter Soldier is the best one.
It's definitely awesome. I mean, I'm all cap all the way, but it introduces us to Bucky Barnes being the Winter Soldier, and...
Which is awesome.
He's
a real badass.
I agree with you 100% about this being the best.
I think this is the best. Because the thing is, the first Captain America is the most functional mm-hmm. of the Marvel movies. But it takes everything that's great about the first Captain America and just builds on it.
Well, this makes it a spy movie, too.
Yeah.
Spy movie.
Yeah.
But this is, I think, the best one. But Winter Soldier has... I love the rivalry between them and him trying to bring Bucky back from where Bucky was. Like, that's, I think, especially in the end, mm-hmm. when he's, like, trying to free Bucky from whatever spell he's under, I think that's one of the better sequences.
Again, though, when he tells him to stay down and he looks right at him and says, I can do this all day, as Bucky is just beating the piss out of him.
when Bucky's
hitting him.
Barreling him, which he's allowing himself to be.
He's just not.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite things that they do in the Avengers movies, where they seem to have every different character every time, but it's when Captain America's holding the helicopter and onto the...
that's a pretty cool scene. Yeah.
And, I mean, what we see it with Thor in the trailer for Infinity War and Spider-Man? Well,
Spider-Man holds lots of things together. In Homecoming, when he shoots the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, when he holds the boat.
But
that, I mean, that scene was, because the scene in Spider-Man 2 when he's saving the train, when he's throwing his web, mm-hmm. His mask comes off, which is a very cool scene.
Yeah. That is, well, that's why, remember, that used, I know it's not part of this universe, but that used to be the gold standard for comic book movies, was Spider-Man 2,
and then X-Men 2 came, wait, no, X-Men 2 was in 2002, right?
I don't remember, whatever.
But Spider-Man 2 came when Trump did, like, and then the third Spider-Man. Anyway, so we're not going to talk about that. But you're right. That's a damn good movie, the second Spider-Man with Doc Ock. With Alfred Molina's Doc Ock. Back to Winter Soldier, though. That's where, like, yes, that's... Stay down. Just get pummeled in the face. I just think it's just funny. Just
beating him.
It's just... I think of a high school bully just beating the kid.
Jesus. You also get introduced to Falcon, old Sam, in this movie, too.
Who was incredibly noble and
who is now part of that universe. Like, that was his coming in.
Is it like the first 5 minutes of Winter Soldier when he's running laps?
Running around the National Quad.
Yeah, and Captain America passes him 2 or 3 times.
He's like left, and he's like, don't you even! This guy's screaming at him.
I really like Anthony Mackie. I think he's
great. He's a great actor.
Yeah, he's super good. I mean, and this is another one, like, all the people from Coulson's universe are in this one, too, like, helping a support. Mm-hmm. This is before the split, of course, Civil War, but, yeah, they're all, I mean, everyone, like, I'm looking at the cast for this, like, I'm making my page as big as it can go, and, like, from, like, this many people, 15 people are all, like, huge people that you know.
Well, this is where S.H.I.E.L.D. changes, too, and this is why that cast is so big, because you see a bunch of the older folks that come back through from the movies up to this point, all the government people.
Yeah.
Because this is where S.H.I.E.L.D.'s compromised.
They're deep in Hydra.
That's right. This is where it becomes...
Colby Smulders, I like Redford's character, too. The Alexander Pierce character. I like Redford.
Well, there was a rumor that Redford was going to be Red Skull. I heard that before this movie came out.
I could see that.
I'm kind of glad that it didn't, but that would have been awesome if he'd have ripped his mask off and been like, yep.
I could see that, actually. Yeah, I could see that.
It could have worked.
When you say it could have worked, I think when I picture what you mean by that is, if it happened, no, everyone would be like, okay, all right. No one would have fought it. Like,
that's, not at all.
I wouldn't have fought it. I'd have been okay with it.
Yep.
What if it was Loki?
Jesus.
Or you get into the Mission Impossible 2 thing where everyone's ripping off their fake
second faces, yeah.
Oh my goodness. But Frank Grillo's character, I love that guy.
Yeah.
Who's now a big deal in the Marvel Universe. Mm-hmm. Emily Van Camp as,
Sharon Carter or whatever.
Yeah, the Carter's granddaughter. Yeah. Who, we totally didn't talk about that in Captain America. Mm-hmm.
No,
but
Peggy.
I had a date. Yeah, Peggy.
Yeah.
He's now an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I'm not going to cover, but I do like the... Emily Van Camp is real badass as Kate, or Agent 13. She's awesome. Stan Lee makes the appearances as in all of them. I like Toby Jones that comes back as Red Skull's... he was Zoller. The guy working at Red Skull.
Zoller.
Remember. Yeah, but Dr. Zoller, but he comes back as, like, when they go in that bunker and try to...
Yeah, he's
like an AI
type. That's pretty cool. But before we move out of Captain America Winter Soldier, end the episode, do you guys have anything you want to say about Winter Soldier?
I mean, I was just thinking about that scene where, you know, they are stuck in the bunker. There's no way out, but they find a way. They do.
Otherwise, you have no movie. So
yes, they can't just die in the bunker.
I
mean, 41 minutes into the film, they can't both be dead. So Cap 2 has what I consider one of the best fight scenes in it, when it's the elevator fight scene.
Oh, yeah.
Which is amazing.
Oh, when he knows?
Yeah, people just keep getting in. And because I still think that could have been better. If he was like, before we do this, does anybody want to get off? And if some little guy in the background was like, I'm not supposed to be here. He stops and just gets off at a random floor, and then the door closed, and then it fought.
That would have been hilarious.
It would
have been better as if... He's some random dude who just works there, has a briefcase. Mm-hmm. He'd be like, I'll get off.
Yeah.
And then, like, everyone lets him off.
Yeah, and then the doors would close, and they'd start going again, and then the fight scene would break. I think that would have been hilarious. Yeah. I still think it would have been hilarious.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
I'm not... I want to get off the elevator to some little dude.
I love your nerd voice, too. Yeah. I want to get off the elevator, please.
I just work here.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
But Cap 2 really did... Cap 2 changed the entire dynamic going forward.
I think so. Yeah.
Because of the Hydra thing. Yeah. So
Which was something that not a whole lot of people saw coming, which is cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, because it made change the entire outlook of everything. So yeah. It's a great movie.
I agree with that.
Check it out. One of the ones that you don't have to watch any of the other movies to watch.
Yeah, too. You're right about
you
that.
You do
yeah.
not have to watch any of the other ones.
You're right about that. So that brings us to the end of the first nine. Again, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm assuming you've seen all the Marvel movies. You're not one of the people who have not seen a Marvel movie.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's there are people do exist, and I meet them every once in a while. It's weird, man. It
that's
really
crazy
weird.
To see you've avoided 18 movies.
Well, I mean, if you're just not into superhero movies like James Cameron, I guess you should not watch them. But
only if he's creating them.
Yeah, I mean, James Cameron's a weird dude, but... So that brings us to the end of the show. And always, the Clark Hayes list of movies you should go, we should watch. King Kong, I thought of. What do you guys think, King Kong? King Kong?
I agree with that. Yeah.
King Kong, the original, the original
okay,
King
I was
Kong.
About, yeah.
Well, it's funny. I was going to tease by saying the original King Kong, 2005. No.
Peter Jackson's original.
1933. Kind of like the original Godzilla, it changed a lot of things. Became extremely iconic. You guys have seen this, right? About the King Kong movie?
Of course.
Yeah. The awesome practical effects of, like, you know, before we had CGI and everything. That's awesome. It's directed by Marion Cooper and Ernest B. Schoenaerts. So that's both kind of uncredited. Faye Ray and Robert Armstrong, Bruce Cabot. Iconic people. They're characterized as iconic as King Kong itself. When was your guys' first exposure to King Kong? I want to ask that question.
I couldn't even tell you.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Would you rewatch the original? Nick's saying no.
I mean, maybe.
I mean, I would, sure.
Okay.
I mean, I'd need a real reason. I wouldn't go dig it out.
Fair. All right.
You know what I mean?
Well, if you want to see one of the originals of the, you know, the King Kong and Godzilla, for example, we talked about Godzilla before.
Very recently. Pacific Rim, you recommended the original Godzilla.
The original Godzilla is a movie you cannot go wrong with.
No,
it's a lot of fun. Same with the original King Kong. It's, you know, the iconic line. You know, it was beauty killed the beast. King, they go to an island, encounter this indigenous people, and then King Kong. They meet King Kong, and then the girl gets involved. The plot is very similar to the Jackson one. Jackson didn't recreate the wheel. He just kind of modded it a little bit.
He made it a square and then threw it into the ocean. That's what he did. So
I don't think it's that bad.
It's pretty bad.
I don't care. Whatever. It's okay to be wrong.
Yeah, it's fine.
So there you go. The Clark Hayes list is added King Kong, 1933. Enjoy that. So I hope you enjoyed the episode today of the wrap-up of the first nine Marvel movies and Rampage, which is a lot of fun. Don't go in expecting an award-winning cinema because you won't get it. You will not get it. Maybe by George the Ape.
Yeah.
Best tape ever, even though he's CG.
He's the best character.
Yeah. You can catch the show at... you can tweet the show at Love Cinema Pod. I'm Grayson Maxwell, one on Twitter.
And more 1776.
And at Raj Dillian.
And just as a reminder, this coming May 6th, Sunday, May 6th at 3 p.m., we are doing a live show at Marquee Cinemas. It's going to be the Avengers episode, a big episode. I have a lot of feelers out for people who are really excited to come join us. Don't know if they will, but I have a lot of people who are saying that are really excited about it. They want to talk about everything Marvel. It's going to be a longer episode. Come check us out. There will be pizza. There will be drinks. If nothing else, come have a slice of pizza and listen to some good talk about Marvel movies. Do you have anything you want to add?
No. I...
Obviously, you can reach out to any one of us and tell us what your favorite Marvel movie is.
Ooh, we will
gladly tell you how you're wrong, and I'm going to watch it. I will be happy to do that.
That's classic Roger.
That's right. That's right. Iron Man is the best origin story, and Cap 2 is the best overall movie. So, if you have any questions on any of that, feel free to at me. I will obliterate you via Twitter. So, no, I'm just kidding. This honestly, though, if you want to talk about that, that is something we absolutely can talk about during our show. At the movie theater about why you think whatever movie's better. And don't come at me saying Black Panther is better than Cap 2, because I will smash you for that.
So. Smash. You want to get smashed? Come out.
Right.
As always, you can find the show on iTunes. Apple, you can set it to automatically download onto your device. You can find us, if you're an Android user, Google Play, and through the Podbean app itself. You can go straight there and download it. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode, and I want you to have a wonderful, wonderful evening.